listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The thing we need to realize to start this topic, no one expected this. Like, sometimes there's people inside an industry, a league, whatever. You know, let's say Paul Feinbaum on the SEC, SEC, okay? And he's going to say, oh, yep, knew he was going to get fired. And maybe if you're outside that bubble, you had no idea or, you know, didn't know. But the insiders knew. I can't think of one baseball insider that was pessimistic. Jonas, can you, about baseball? You know, like, the point we're at now is further in that game of chicken, further to collision than I think anyone could imagine. I mean, Jonas, who would you say has had the most pessimistic view, do you think?
I think everybody's been optimistic they were going to get something done. I think as time has gone on, they've started to see the reality of how entrenched each side was into their point of view and their want. But even John Heyman's been covering Major League Baseball for decades. And a week ago, he was the one who reported that they had a deal done, that Tony Clark and Rob Manfred met, and it looked like we were going to have a deal done, only to find out a short time later that he and Rob Manfred were both surprised that there was no deal done. So I think everybody covering the sport has been just, you know, outside of the loop on all this stuff as anybody.
And they're playing a game of chicken. Not far away from that. Not far away from that. Breaking news. MLB Players Union are closed. Oh, it was popped up in front of me and somehow got taken away. That must mean it... Did it unbreak? All right. Wow. All right. Oh, we got something else here. This is from USA Today, Bob Nightingale. Across the wire, Manfred expected now to implement a 54 to 60 game season that would start no earlier than July 26th. So, Fez, you've got a theory. We know the players want more games because, hey, they are not accepting, as you would call it, a haircut, as I would call it, any discount on their per-game salary. It's just going to be split pro rata. What does that mean? Well, how many games you play, you get paid for those games. Fez likes to make it complicated. Haircut, pro rata. All right. So the owners are losing money. We don't know how much, but they're losing money on regular season games. Probably not as much as they say is a good bet, but they're still losing because their actions tell us they don't want regular season games. You've got an interesting theory because COVID, obviously, big in the news this weekend. And you got, I was skeptical at first because, let's be honest, you are very, for such a ruthless, like, no nonsense better. You believe every load of crap a PR agent puts out. So I usually,
no doubt,
I just default against what you're thinking. But you've got me convinced. Make the case.
Yeah. So the owners are going to lose during the regular season, but the owners are going to make money during the playoffs. So the worst case scenario for the owners is that they play the regular season and then COVID hits multiple teams and the season has to be canceled and the owners miss out on the playoff revenue that is so important to them. So the owners definitely did not want the season to be extended, and that's part of the reason the owners want to minimize the number of games, because that will maximize their chance of having playoffs.
Yeah, so if you get one set of games you're losing money on, the regular season, but every game you play, you not only lose money, but you increase the chance by whatever amount there's going to be the team gets struck by COVID, and thus maybe just not a team, but multiple teams, wherever that tipping point is of saying, we got to cancel the season, in the midst of it, every game they play is another chance of that happening. And thus why, if someone said, let's say you're going to Hawaii and you don't want to go to a certain island or something, and it's like, well, do you want to go to this island and when we're over there, eat some exotic fish that may give you food poisoning, which means you'll miss the rest of the trip? No, I'll skip the island because I don't want to spend that money, and I don't want to take the chance of getting some illness on top of it. Every game, more exposure. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, to me, it feels like it was such dollars and cents, but when you brought it up, meaning the lesser game count is what they wanted, the owners. But you're right, it's dollars and cents not to cancel the playoffs. So, Jonas, let me ask you, we're straight out of Vegas. Why do you think the owners kept negotiating after they got to the point where the 48 games or so, the default, let's call it, and now they're saying 54 to 60, that default was always the ace in the hole in theory of the owners. Why do you think they... Now, I know the players could, in theory, like strike or boycott, but they're actually contractually obligated, is my understanding. But you could always say, oh, health risks. Other than wanting the players actually on board, but the players were saying, where and when, where and when, where and when. So they seem to be on board. Why do you think the owners kept negotiating?
I think they kept negotiating so they could give the perception that they were doing everything within their power to try and get a season going. It felt like both sides were playing the PR battle, and every proposal I think they knew was probably going to get rejected, but they at least had to make the effort to make it look like publicly they were doing all they could.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I think there's two other reasons. One, the extra playoff games. I mean, if the playoff, this is the, you know, Fez, you're right. You miss playoffs, you're losing the money. Here you add to the playoffs, you're making more money, and they were going from, what, 10 to 16 teams?
Yes.
So we didn't know what the format would be, but many more games in theory. So now on this default plan, it's normal playoffs, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then I also think this grievance, I don't think it's a coincidence that the deal, when it broke down a couple Fridays ago, was about that grievance where they were afraid, for whatever reason, if it was the books maybe needs to be opened if there's a grievance or whatever, the owners don't seem to want a grievance at all.
Yeah, no, that seemed like it stirred up some bad feelings. And I don't know if scared is the right word, but when that popped up, it felt like the owners were really trying to do what they could. So I do think there's part of that. I also think this, and it's a little bit of a conspiracy theory.
Uh-oh.
But I thought that the timing of this was a little bit odd. So on Friday, it comes out that the players are going to, or that the players implement this 70-game counterproposal to the 60 games the owner sent out. And then all of a sudden it gets announced that they're closing down all Major League Baseball facilities for deep cleaning. To me, that felt like they were trying to use the deep cleaning as an excuse to buy them some time. So if the players did come back to the facilities, there wouldn't be enough time to get in all those games anyways, which is why Rob Manfred pointed out over the weekend that it would be impossible trying to get 70 games in with the amount of time they have left.
So your theory, and you were talking about this earlier, Fez, so your theory is COVID as cover for not playing. So you... Practically, it seems legitimate. Every regular season game, you play another chance to have an outbreak, thus increased chance of the playoffs not happening. That's just pure logic. But also, if you use the old, the welfare of the players and health and blah, 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 which we all know they would put those players in like a fire pit for the right amount of money. The owners, and the players would put the owners in a fire pit. Let's just accept that, right?
Gladiators wearing masks, if you will.
Yeah, there's no limit. It could be like Pulp Fiction. I mean, there'd be no limit to it. If anything, I think the players, you know, I think both might enjoy it because there's obviously in baseball, there's disdain, it seems like, which, boy, that would suck to own a team or to play for a team and you hate the owner. I mean, I'm not saying it's not justified. It just doesn't seem fun, right? So it kind of makes sense, though, if they say player safety, less games. So it seems like baseball is doing in action and in words everything they can to minimize the chance of more games, which is proof that they're losing money on those games.
Yeah, and that's what my thought was, because by the time the facilities open up for this deep cleaning, by the way, every place in the country has been doing deep cleaning since March. The fact that they're just now doing it is also why I'm a little skeptical. By the time they open up the facility after this clean, there's not going to be enough time to get the 70 games for the players anyway, so it wouldn't matter.
All right, so, oh, go ahead, Fez.
Yeah, and the owners are coming out and saying, hey, we can't have double headers. There's too much of a risk having all those people in the same place together for a seven-hour period
of time. But what happens if they took a haircut? Would they do a double header then? All right, Buster Olney says, now the dominoes are likely to tumble. Short season by MLB. Some players choosing not to play. A grievance from the players. Free agent market gets destroyed. Upcoming free agents get destroyed in market, quote, Buster only, and all major labor issues merely deferred to next spring. Mutually assured destruction. Doesn't sound good. Wait, hold on. Just tweeted out that GIF.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Okay, we're going to do a little evidence-based review of Dak. And what I mean by that is we're going to have fun with it. But what do we know? What do we know? All right, Jonas, you're going to be our authority on all things sports and fandom, or, you know, voice of the fan. Yeah, that's interesting. You think like a fan that loves sports. You're a fan of sports. It's like you don't root hard for individual teams.
No, I just, I root for...
But you love sports. You really do.
I love sports. I grew up, I think anybody that gets into this always grew up loving sports. I just
Yeah, but
like,
most guys don't love it still when they get to be like, you're a youngish guy, but I mean, you get in your 30s, early 40s, they especially in this business, they sour on it, it seems like.
I still respect it. I just root for good stories. That's all I want. If it's drama, I'm all about it. Conspiracies, I'm all about it. I think it's fun.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. Name me a quarterback that was even top 10. I think even the skeptics of Dak are going to say he's top 10. Now, maybe some might not, but Fez, where do you got Dak on your power? Your
number
rank?
Seven, RJ.
Okay, so let's think about this. I want you to name me, or Jonas, anyone can jump in, a quarterback of his stature, top 10, let's call it, that's had this prolonged a contract negotiation. And what I'm going to say right away is Kirk Cousins, you could make the case Washington never really acted like they were going to sign him. It seemed like, and I'm not saying there wasn't a stray report here or there, but, you know, McKenzie, who does research at pregame.com, is, you know, actually has a, you know, distant relationship with Cousins, and, you know, he said he followed it very closely. It was not the assumption that they were going to sign him. So let's set that aside. Jonas, who's the best quarterback that a team was this recalcitrant, so stubborn about the last couple bucks? Or what quarterback has been this stubborn? I don't know who's to blame, but I would make the case we've never seen this.
The only one I can think of in recent years in the top 10 would be Russell Wilson, and it was at a much smaller degree because the last contract did go on a little bit and got a little bit treacherous towards the end where they weren't really sure, and then, you know, he's laying in bed with Ciara and he announces that they've got a deal or whatnot late at night. But that was the only one I could think of, but nothing's been as bad as this Dak Prescott one.
That in bed with Ciara seemed to really stick with you.
I stuck with a lot of people.
I mean, that's Jonas Knox. I'm the wholesome RJ Bell. Steve's not wholesome. Well, maybe. You are.
Naive.
Well, yeah. That's a whole other thing. I mean. All right. Refresh my memory on Russell Wilson. It wasn't like a late point. But he was going to – he gave them an ultimatum.
Yeah.
Right? You remember this?
Yeah, thing? He had a date. Russell said, we need to have a contract by this date.
So, I mean, yeah, it was a different kind of negotiation, but Seattle capitulated right away, right? They did what he wanted.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, it was unusual. This is over a year. And I will go back to this again and again. And they might – listen, obviously the odds are better than 50%. That Dak's going to go long-term with Dallas. When do quarterbacks ever leave? Peyton Manning left because they sent him on his way because they had Andrew Luck. By the way, Colin, I was watching videos this weekend. He actually said, and again, Colin's a friend, so we get to have fun with him, but, you know, we do have a segment called Colin is Crazy. This would go right in it. He was taking the bows about him predicting Andrew Luck would be good. Like, he was saying, I get these things right, and was taking, and said, and I was right on Andrew Luck. I'm thinking, when did he ever say Andrew Luck was going to bust? and it's like, that was, now listen, the best you can say, the best is Andrew Luck was at the 50th percentile of his expectations. He was the highest touted quarterback since John Elway, and he went to zero Super Bowls and never had an AFC championship game. He didn't lose by 40 points or so.
Yeah, it's not like he was close, right?
Yeah, we'll do this tomorrow, Jonas, because then he went on and literally said Sam Darnold was great. Not good, not will be. He said Sam Darnold is great.
At what?
That's funny, actually. And he literally, here's how you know if there's a Sam Darnold apologist. How many times they say the word mono? Because if they say it more than once, like he riffed and he said mono like seven times. You know what I don't like? Listen, Colin's one of a thousand that does this. Everyone in sports, maybe I do. I don't think I do, but they can't be wrong. Like, because what happened, you know, Nick Wright's like this. All of a sudden, scores don't matter. Games don't matter. Like, somehow they've transcended result. And even stats don't matter. Because you can say, well, he had mono. Or, well, his O-line wasn't very good. And once it has to go through your filter, then you're going to get the result you want regardless. Because if it goes your way, that's representative. If it doesn't go your way, well, it's because the wind was blowing. That's a new thing. And in a way, this is the next generation of hot takes. Hot takes you can't be wrong on. Because you get to decide if you're right. Like, Nick Wright's talking about James Harden and how great he's been in the playoffs. I mean, literally. It's like, but he's, you know, he's like, well, in this one series, 26 points. But then he's saying that somehow Harden's going to benefit greatly from the rest because he's worn down in other playoffs. And after he said that once or twice, he actually kind of figured out he was contradicting himself. I mean, he's a smart guy. And he said, well, you know, a lot of people think Harden hasn't done well in the playoffs. I think he's done real well, but he could do better, and here's why. It's like you're twisting yourself into a knot. But honestly, Jonas, have you noticed this? It's not just any one person. That they actually won't even admit. Like, if you thought Andrew Luck was going to be great and you can't take an L there, and somehow even the retirement didn't do his team wrong. Like, what was it, like 5-6 weeks before the season?
Yeah, I think first week in August, and he just bailed on his team.
It was late August. It was a couple of weeks before the season.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because it was...
You're right, because I had a sushi... I remember where I was that night.
I think it was a third preseason game, so it wasn't very far before.
And I'm not saying the guy doesn't have the right to make his decision, but don't make it honorable... That he did. If you come to that life-changing decision, you got to do what you got to do. I guess you wouldn't want the guy playing without wanting to play. You can get hurt that way.
And the Colts were a contending team.
Yeah, yeah.
Supposed to win 10 games.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that was a selfish move.
No doubt.
But somehow no one wanted to say it. It's like everyone's looking at the sky saying it's green. Well, it's green for me because I see the truth. Green money. That's why they don't bet, right? Let's be honest.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
The story that keeps on giving, and it's Dak Prescott, who did officially sign his $31.4 million exclusive franchise tender earlier on Monday.
So no quarterback of this level that the team said we want to sign, and Cousins in Washington probably outside of that criteria. And who else? Russell Wilson had to give him an ultimatum. The thing you can't forget is Dak played last year when he was supposedly, by reports, offered $33 million. He played last year at $2 million contract. We've all heard less than $5 million, less than $5 million. I mean, I don't know if he got insurance or not. Why do quarterbacks always seem to sign with their team? Because they want to sign that first contract early or get out of the first contract early, sign that second contract, because they're not making that boohoo money, that monster money. It's good money, but it's not that monster money. And Dak said, nah, keep your 33. I'll just live on this. Why would you do all that just to sign? For what? Now 35 is what they're reporting? Mm-hmm. It wasn't worth all the risk. And I strongly believe, and Jonas has talked about this, I'm going to give him the final word on Dak. He hired a combative agent because he wanted to be combative. There's something with Jerry Jones, who knows what? And I've speculated, this is pure speculation. But Jerry Jones is known for what? Signing early and with abundance. He writes those checks, baby. He likes to. I mean, you know, he seems to have overpaid. When's the last time a Cowboy was underpaid, Fez? Meaning signed a deal at that moment was a good deal for the team.
Got to go back a long time.
I mean, like, just in general, he's overpaid.
Cooper got his money. Zeke got his money. Yeah.
Why? And more than you would expect. So why would, and I'm asking this, Jonas, to you, because you've been a skeptic on this, why would Dak be the one player that Jerry Jones is slow to sign and seemingly being a little stingy with the last million, unless that either Dak is being unreasonable or Jerry Jones doesn't want Dak? It's got to be one or the other.
I don't know. I think Dak Prescott looked at this early on as this may go this direction because Jerry Jones views it as a privilege to play for the Dallas Cowboys, and maybe Dak hired an agent who was not willing to play that game, and this is why we're at where we're at.
And if that's the case, then it makes my point. There's something going on here. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Last topic, Jamal Adams. To me, he has leverage. A lot of people are saying, what leverage does he have? 2 years left. When is the last time? And I've been saying, players, I want them to have a lot of rights. I want them to get their due, their cut. Whack up that money, baby. Make it fair. But I believe, well, I don't even have to have a conclusion. I'm going to ask this question. When is the last time a player in any of the major sports wanted something and was just told no and didn't get it?
Hmm.
Meaning every holdout we've seen, they all seem to either get traded, like Ramsey to the Rams, or they get what they want. Jonas, can you think of examples of saying, hey, player, if you're the squeaky wheel, it won't work?
The only one I can think of is Le'Veon Bell.
But he still got what he wanted.
Yeah.
He didn't play that year. He got big money. So you're right. The Steelers played as hard as you could against him. And still the player won.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.